this computer. All right, we're here.
Here we are.
Bitcoin Rising, episode 2.
Kind of thinking of this as episode 1 personally, but that's just for my own, ego.
We sound more professional if we have multiple episodes. All right.
So we should call it 200. Episode 200.
201.
Okay. Oh, drinking without me.
I am.
Oh, well.
Got to keep with tradition. Okay. I'm assuming you don't have any.
I don't have any. I have no booze. We're gonna free ball this.
Free ball this one.
All right. Reminder to our new listeners, which is just about everybody who might hear this. I'm Greg Jeline, and this is my co-host, Nick.
Nick Cabas.
All right.
We're both web people in a Bitcoin world. So without further ado. Just tweeted. Let me read the tweet from how long ago?
Like
25 minutes ago.
Citing news.
I am not a fan of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which are not money and whose value is highly volatile and based on thin air. Unregulated crypto assets can facilitate unlawful behavior, including drug trade and other illegal activity. Then he talks about Libra, etc. But, Greg, do you think this validates Bitcoin?
I don't know if it validates Bitcoin. I do think it's, I'd be bullish no matter what. If anytime someone's talking about Bitcoin, especially the president of the United States, I'm happy. I don't care if he's saying something good or bad. Any publicity is good publicity. So I'd say it's bullish. Yeah, it probably does validate it because he sounds like he's feeling that the U.S. dollar, his cherished U.S. dollar is threatened by it.
Yeah, he seems a little bit intimidated, huh?
I think so. And he's intimidated by Facebook too. And yeah, I think he thinks his power trip might be threatened by all of us geeks out here. So I don't know. I think it's good. It's certainly not bad. I don't think anyone's not going to buy Bitcoin because Trump doesn't.
Yeah.
What do you say? I'm not, because he's not a fan.
I mean, if he's tweeting about it, this is going to make the people that thought it was a scam kind of start searching it again and kind of create that whole new demographic to start paying attention to it.
Yeah. Attention. I'm curious what triggered him to talk about it. I don't think he's ever mentioned Bitcoin or crypto in his history, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't know what triggered him today. It's probably related to the Fed chairman speaking today. Was it today that the Fed?
Yeah, I think today and yesterday that Powell started talking about it.
So I imagine Trump probably had a meeting with some of his advisors in the last 24 hours, and they probably brought up Bitcoin. Is probably the first he's ever really thought about it.
Well, he owns it, though.
I know, he probably does. I think he's a hodler. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking he's probably doing a dump and pump.
Pump and dump?
No, the opposite.
Oh, he's dumping.
He's gonna get it to dump, and he's gonna buy a huge block.
Smart.
And then he's gonna pump it. He's gonna change his mind and pump it. Anyway, yeah, he's gotta be hearing from one of his foolish advisors who are probably unqualified to be an advisor that Bitcoin is bad for some reason. So anyway, I think it's good. I'm happy.
Well, I mean, it does. I mean, take a little bit of the power away from the U.S. dollar, right? If Bitcoin hyper maximalization, whatever you call it, comes to fruition.
If we're gonna be speaking to the public, we're gonna have to say that word correctly. Hyper-Bitcoinization.
Hyper-Bitcoinization. All right.
Yeah. Nothing else will satisfy me. It's clearly. I don't think he even knows. I can't imagine that his brain can comprehend the potential downside against the dollar. But I do think that his advisors must be saying, whispering in his ear that they're threatened by this. And yeah, so. I guess you're right. Your initial question was, does this validate Bitcoin in any way? And I guess it probably does. So, yeah. And like you said, nonetheless, the best thing I can think of is like, there's probably a million new people who are now for the first time hearing about Bitcoin or bringing it back into their consciousness where it was otherwise forgotten. So, let's do it. Let's get the buzz going. And they look at the price right now, all this volatility, And I don't know, we might get some new retail coming in.
Yep. I mean, any publicity awesome. Is good publicity, right?
That's right. All right. So on that note, what do you know about, I only read the tweet of the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, some tweets about what he said, but you listened to a little bit of it. So why don't you tell us what Jerome Powell said?
Yeah, I listened to a bit. Mostly just got through like the Libra part. Just saying that they have to take their due diligence with it. I think the Fed pretty much sent like a cease and desist over to Facebook a couple of days ago, being like, you guys need to halt this until we can do more investigation. Because what it sounds like they're trying to do is be like an unregulated bank and, you know, give people debit cards essentially and let them use it in a bunch of different countries. And they have their whole collective of private companies, you know, Uber yeah. and Visa are all joining in on that.
Right.
So I think, you know, probably for good reason, the Fed is pretty intimidated because, you know, worst case scenario, this can be a centralized digital currency, that they don't really have jurisdiction over.
Right. So that's got to be related to Trump's recent tweet, because him mentioning Libra and talking about regulation and banks in that tweet. Yeah, it's got to be some kind of coordinated defense against. I'm just thinking on the fly, but I think it's starting to sound more like they're defending against Libra more than Bitcoin even. Because the very fact that he's never mentioned Bitcoin until now, and he mentions it around the time that they're kind of dealing with Libra. So I think Libra's kind of what they're really concerned about, which is, like you said about Bitcoin, that validates that maybe Libra's for real and scary to them.
Yeah, I mean, it validates the whole space in their eyes, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's kind of curious to why they haven't addressed Bitcoin much, you know, in the past. Why it took like Facebook doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah. I guess if now that the cat's out of the bag, I would expect we're going to hear more coming there from them about this, which I think is also good.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's see what they can throw at us. See if it helps or, you know, it can't really do anything else but help, unless they try to regulate Bitcoin in the United States in some way that probably won't hurt Bitcoin, at least not long term. It might affect some of us hodlers and traders. So we'll see if there's anything to come of that. But it's not going to stop Bitcoin. Obviously, there's no one to stop. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
I mean, I don't think they mind too much about what Bitcoin's done because, you know, for the most, they've started collecting taxes on it. You know, it's been a revenue stream for the government.
Yep.
Become popular. So, you know, other than I guess the illegal activity that it used to be, you know, known for.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always going to be illegal activity associated with any currency, whether it's the U.S. dollar, gold, or anything else. So. That if anyone's complaining, I mean, that's a red herring. If someone's talking about, it's either naivete or trying to mislead people. If you're talking about the fact that it's used for illicit uses, because
yeah,
there's lots of ways to break the law.
And yeah, anything that has value is, you know, going to be used for laundering or anything like that.
Did you hear about the J.P. Morgan? I don't know the details, but
I did.
They had some boat or ship, with the headline I read said $1 billion worth of drugs, whatever that means. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming cocaine. I don't know what $1 billion worth of drugs is.
It's a lot of drugs. So yeah, I saw a tweet about it. I didn't look too much into it. Yeah. It's kind of a funny headline.
Sounds like JP Morgan's up to no good. Sounds like they're fueling their bankers, coffee's not cutting it anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of banks, we didn't have this on the agenda, but Douche Bank. Clever name I came up with for that.
Very good. You're the first person probably to ever say that.
Yeah, Deutsche, however you say that.
Deutsche. I believe. I believe so.
I'm not very cultured, but yeah, they're cutting what 20% of their staff, 18 people. They have a pretty sketchy track record, actually, in terms of.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you can speak more to that. You seem to have more knowledge about things than I do.
I don't know too many specifics, but I know they've been popped for money laundering, all kinds of various money laundering schemes over the years. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they are like the number one most fined bank.
I think that's right.
And they've done a lot of stuff with, speaking of Trump and his tweet of using Bitcoin and crypto for illegal activities. He's gotten a lot of money, a lot of loans. That's like his number one go-to bank. They lend him money when his chips have been down. Deutsche Bank is always there for Trump.
Yeah.
So I probably using some of that money for nefarious purposes. I'll go on record as saying that.
It's treason, man.
I know that might be treason or something of the sort. But nonetheless, I strongly suspect some of that money is being used illicitly. I do not have any proof in front of me, so I'll leave it at that. But I am on many FBI and NSA watch lists, so I have to keep it quiet. But anyway, that bank,
communist.
That bank has been up to a lot of funny business. Let's just say.
Yeah, they're so German. They're a German bank.
Sure, sounds like it by the name. I imagine they're a German. Are they a Nazi bank? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah. Deutsche Bank. What else?
Let's see.
We ready to jump into the price here?
We can. Price has been up and down a lot lately. 10% swings.
Yeah.
Daily. Reminds you of 2017 a little bit.
I was just thinking about that today, and I'm not so sure in the kind of the high volatility late 2017 activity that it was having swings that were going down like this. It was definitely having big moves up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember like going up and then backing off 30 or, I mean, you're saying 10%. I think is it only 10%? Is that what we did last night?
We hit 13, then we dropped down to 11 today. That's definitely over 10%, 15%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it was like that. I don't know. I don't remember that well, but it's not pleasant to, I'm pretty jaded and able to handle the swings, but yeah, you feel good. You feel good. And you eat a steak on nights when, you go up 1,000 and then, you're eating cereal
the next day
in the morning.
It makes you want to save though. It makes you want to save your money.
Yeah.
Buy more, you know, invest more when it drops.
I do every time. I stacked some sats today on Cash App. I put a whopping $10 of dirty fiat into my Cash App because just out of principle, when it goes down, I reward myself with a little more coin. But yeah, it's
so you have about $10 worth now.
Yeah, right. I'm up to 10. So I use my Cash App. My Cash App is for my dog's health insurance fund. That's what Cash App is for.
You don't really care about your dog too much then.
Well, my dog's got a nice fund going, let's say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If my dog gets a broken leg, it'll be taken care of.
Wow.
I'll leave it at that. We're doing pretty good on the Cash App. Dollar cost averaging pretty much weekly or sometimes several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this volatility, I think for people who are waking up to Bitcoin right now coming into this, I wonder, let me ask you what you think. So let's just say you're Joe Schmo and you came in and you're throwing $1,000 into Bitcoin in the last month because it ran up from the lows of the year. How do you think they're handling, like kind of a someone who doesn't have any experience trading or anything, how do you think they might be feeling when they see their money going up 10 or 15 and down 10 or 15% in a day or 2 days?
I mean, I guess thinking back to when I started, and then I guess people I've I've now gotten some people at work into it. Pretty easily too. I'm not even like super advertising the benefits of it, but just, you know, people know that I'm interested in it and I'm investing in it. So, you know, people ask me questions and I just tell them straight answers.
You're becoming an influencer.
I am to them what you were to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Bitcoin influencer. Follow me on Twitter.
That works. Why don't you shout out your handle there?
It's Nick Cabass. And you're Greg Jalin.
Greg Jalin, J-E-L-L-I-N. Proudly using my real name, violating all the principles of security. Both of us. Unwisely.
That's all right.
But
we have to be martyrs for the cause.
Yeah. Reckless.
But what was your question?
My question was, how does the newbie feel about this price action?
You know, it's really stressful. I'm sure when it drops, no one wants to sell, right? Because you don't want to be a loser. You don't want to. Actually, that's not true. Some people will sell. It really depends on the person, right? Some people will sell when it drops before it drops too far because they're scared. Some people will wait for it to drop. And then once it bumps again, once they're about even, they'll sell and get out. It really just kind of depends. I feel like until I got a couple of years under my belt, I wasn't buying the dips.
Yeah.
You know, for you know, stocks or anything. So just
holding on tight.
Yeah. It's definitely stressful if you come in right now. When I first came in,
I'd say it's stressful. And if you're holding right now, it's pretty stressful.
Nah.
Or it can be.
Fine.
I guess it depends.
Remember, the bull market came too early. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I feel the same way. It's like, it's a long-term thing. So whatever it's got to do. It'd be better for me probably not to pay that close of attention. But I'm actually fascinated by watching the price. It's just fascinating to see something move like this and try to figure out what is happening to drive price. Yeah.
Why the drops? I mean, I feel like...
And the gains. Manipulation.
I mean, the first time it got up to 13, it was like, it was pretty understandable. People took profits, right? A lot of traders took profits. They sold and then they kind of bought back in, drove it up again. It seems like it might just be in that kind of cycle right now.
Yeah. Right? Sure.
But it doesn't feel like, I don't feel like it's going to drop below 10. It might go to 8, who knows?
Yeah.
Never worth speculating.
I could see it going in any, like just doing anything. I could definitely see it dropping into a scary place. And I'm I'm comfortable with that.
It's definitely going to go up to 100 now that our president tweeted about it. Oh, look, we're already rising.
Yeah, I think since he tweeted, it's gone up about 5%.
Yeah, there we go.
Not quite. I think he's probably manipulating this market. That's what he's up to here. I mean, that's what he does, right? He's kind of a manipulator. So
he manipulates any market. He was. He also had another tweet the other day about how China and Europe, China is devaluing their currency. You know, by printing more, et cetera. And he's saying the Fed should do the same thing, which is also like kind of the most bullish, sign for Bitcoin, right?
I didn't hear that. So he's encouraging the Fed to print more money.
Yeah, to keep
or
up
cut with. Interest rates.
I'm pretty sure print more money. Oh, and he also wants to cut interest rates because interest rates are bad.
Yeah,
for the economy.
They're quite low right now, as far as I can tell. At least mortgage rates, which is all I pay attention to.
That's fair. Why is that? You trying to buy a house?
No, I just. I'm aware of, well, I would like to buy a house in the next couple of years, but I'm not looking to buy a house now. I just pay attention to real estate.
Nerd.
Just paying attention. Okay, so that's price. It's been crazy, but basically hanging around. It's at 11.5 currently. It's been as high as 13 last week and as low as 11.1 maybe.
I think we slightly might have dropped. We dropped... maybe right below 11 today.
Okay. We're ranging in a $2,000 range there.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Which is cool, you know.
I'm comfortable here.
Yeah, we started the week around 11. We're a little bit over 11 now.
Okay, slowly but surely moving up.
Yeah, definitely fun. It's a fun time.
Yeah, it's exciting. Keeps people interested. I'm curious about your friends at work. If they are they coming to you when it drops and asking questions, or when it goes up?
I think it's happening so much right now that, I mean, like yesterday we were up, 2 days ago we were down, or no, 2 days ago we hit 13, and now we're down. So it's been all over the place. So they're just kind of curious. we got a new guy.
Yeah.
Shout out, he might be watching. He's one of the three people that I've told about this podcast.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome, new guy.
Yeah, his name is Colin.
Welcome to the machine.
He's taken the red pill or the blue pill, whichever the good pill is. I don't know which one that is.
Enjoy spending most of your waking hours on this. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully that's what you're doing with your time.
But he did ask me about, you know, other altcoins and Litecoin.
Oh, and my goodness.
The big appeal of those is just that they're cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper. So people get a higher perceived value because they're able to actually purchase a coin, which is interesting, is how that psychology kind of works, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's called unit bias. So the unit price is cheaper than the Bitcoin unit price. And so it appeals to the psychology because it seems like you're getting a better value, and that if it goes up like Bitcoin did price wise, you're going to make a fortune. But it's obviously what matters is not what the price is, but the percentage increase. So as we've seen this year, alts, including Litecoin and every other alt, are tanking next to Bitcoin. So it's really a bad move historically, except for a few exceptions. I think it's Ethereum might be the only exception when Ethereum launched from, well, I don't know. I think Ethereum's launch to its high outperformed Bitcoin. I don't know if anything else in the long term has outperformed Bitcoin. And I could be wrong. Ethereum may not have, I can't recall, but
like from launch until now.
Well, I don't think so. I think from launch to the high. Oh, and okay. I think since then it's dumped so much that I'm pretty sure it has not outperformed Bitcoin in that period. But
yeah, I mean Ethereum's still down significantly.
Yeah.
Like over a year, while Bitcoin's actually up to
right. Yeah, and I get the appeal of that, but I have two problems with that. One is I think they're going to lose money. They might make money on US dollar, which is fine, but they're not going to make as much as they would with Bitcoin. And two, those are eventually going to go away. Almost all of them, including probably Litecoin. Litecoin really is fairly useless. It's really just a copy of Bitcoin. I think it's got faster block times and cheaper fees because nobody uses it, or few people use it.
Well, isn't Litecoin trying to be? I know Bitcoin Cash is to the goal to be like for retail transactions, right? Which one can support more?
I think so, but I don't think it's. I don't think it has legs, especially with Lightning.
Yeah, it's the other thing.
You're risking something that might be going away at any time, basically. And it might last 10 years, but it's not going to outperform Bitcoin. But Bitcoin's not going away. So any of these other ones have a very good chance of going away. So you're betting on basically a greater fool coming around to buy your bags. And if you want to play that game, you can, but it's just like...
This is gambling at that point.
Yeah. It's like, why not hold an asset that has performed the best of all of them and has fundamentals and is going to be here? And it's like, yeah, you might, you know, I think that the problem with new people is they don't really believe that they don't see the value prop of Bitcoin, and they don't think it's necessarily going to be here. Mm-hmm. So they're just trying to get a chunk of change while it's here. So they don't, it doesn't matter if it's Bitcoin or Litecoin to them. It's like, and I think that's your job as an evangelist to kind of,
and an influencer,
you have to let them know, like, hey, that's, and maybe you're doing that. That's the difference between Bitcoin and Lightning. You can do it. Obviously, buy what you got to buy, but
Litecoin.
Yeah. Lightning. Yeah. So you want to talk about some Lightning stuff?
Yeah. Lightning's pretty good, man. It's fun to mess around with. Fold, the app I just sent you $5 with.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fold. They sent you a $5 Amazon gift card. they now support Lightning payments. So funny story about that. That was actually, I think, my first time using a Lightning transaction.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you, because you were the recipient. Well, I think technically Fold received the transaction, then converted it to a gift card and sent it to you. But, you know, same idea. They also support, you know, Bitcoin wallet to their app transactions, in case you didn't know that.
So you can use Bitcoin or Lightning, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can use Bitcoin or Lightning. Exactly. So at first I just tried doing it from a Coinbase wallet, sending you the $5. The projected fee was going to be $1.21.
Yep.
So I chose not to do that.
Good choice.
And then using Lightning, didn't even record a fee, so it was either no fee or the fee was less than a cent, so I didn't see any issue there.
Negligible fee.
So that's the massive appeal of Lightning. That kind of opened my eyes a little bit more. I mean, I already kind of saw Lightning as a potential to be the kind of the future of retail transactions.
Yep.
So I'm kind of putting all my eggs in that basket as well.
What do you mean by putting your eggs in that basket?
Well, that's what I've been spending my time outside of work and et cetera, looking into and researching.
Cool.
You know, I set up a node using like the kind of the C Lightning, I guess, UI.
Protocol
stuff. I'm still even trying to get my head around like those differences there. I mean, I know at the end of the day, you're going to be running a Lightning node, and that's all that matters. Just kind of how you get there through LND or Eclair or C Lightning. I don't know if you can speak to that.
Yeah, a little bit. C Lightning, I think, is being worked on or created by Blockstream, if I'm not mistaken. And LND is, what is it? Lightning. What are they called? What's their company called?
I think they're Lightning Labs.
Lightning Labs, thank you.
Yeah, and they seem like they have a lot of smart people working on that. So
totally. Yeah, they do. And that's what I have. I installed, my nodes are running LND. I did this through BTC Pay Server, which is an awesome open source software created by Nicolas Dorier and others. And yeah, they just basically took, there was this company that's closed source called BitPay, I think. Mm-hmm. And they took basically it might be open source, but they're like, BitPay, I think, accepts all kinds of coinage, all kinds of different altcoins and shitcoins. Mm-hmm. So I think the whole purpose of BTC Pay Server was to basically fork that and create one that essentially only supports Bitcoin. And I'm not 100% sure that's true still. I think because it's open source, I think people have added support for other coins. But anyway, it's a pretty cool, using BTC Pay Server, you can then spin up a node with their server. It's automated. So I didn't have to do anything. And you can choose C Lightning or LND. I chose LND. And you can hook everything up through that node once you have it going. So I will eventually also create my own node from scratch. Haven't gotten around to it yet, so I've been lazy. But
come on. It's not too, it's actually super easy.
Yeah, cool.
I'm going to set up one, because I set up the C-Lightning one, I'm going to set up one with LND, maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Definitely this weekend. I think they also have Neutrino, so you don't have to do the full Bitcoin node, but I'm going to do the full Bitcoin node again.
Yeah, Neutrino allows, it just takes like a certain percentage of the chain, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's much faster. I think that's how like Eclair wallet works, if I'm not mistaken. Eclair just has, I think Eclair uses Neutrino. Don't quote me on that, but so it's fast and it's fast to install. And it's like, I have a, what do you say?
I said, you're on record. We're going to quote you on everything.
I know. I really want to caveat everything because there's so much information out there. There's so much new stuff coming at all times. It's like a lot of information to remember. So yeah, I'm going to constantly caveat everything I say, but yeah, I use Eclair. It's a good app. I had that on my phone. I also have, I love Zap.
Yeah.
That's like, what's his name? Jack Maller's project. Zap, they just released one for the Android. They also have an iPhone version and they have a desktop version. I can't get the Android version working yet. And what I'm doing is syncing that up to my desktop version.
Really?
So that I can basically use that. I can run it. It's complicated right now, all this stuff. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, what the hell are these guys talking about? Mm-hmm. I hear you. I feel your pain, but we're exploring all these different technologies going around. Eventually the UX for all of this is going to be seamless. It's going to be like, you're going to install a wallet. You're going to install a node either through like what's Pierre Rochard's thing, node launcher. Mm-hmm. Or you'll buy an appliance like Nodal or Kafka. What is it called?
Oh, that was that. Yeah, the thing is kind of a node in a box, right?
And you just
plug shit into it.
A bunch of those now. So Nodal is one of them. It's like $400.
That was the one that was just on the guys were just on.
It was just on the TFTC pod.
Yeah.
Marty and Matt.
That one seemed pretty cool.
Yeah. Nodal's cool. And then Kafka's cool. But you can also. So anyway, people can buy those and they'll get cheaper over time, but it's going to get easier. But right now it is a pain, and they don't, and Lightning, I think we mentioned this in our last pod, Lightning is not there yet as far as it's open source and we're all figuring it out. Really smart people are working on it. A lot of people are working on it like you are and I am, where we're not, you know, we're testing things out. We're trying to figure out things. We report things in GitHub in order to get the UX cleaner, find bugs. Well,
the other one you should, I think they have an Android app, but you should give it a shot. The Lightning Labs guys who, like the L&D guys, also came out with a Lightning.
Yes.
I think they're still in alpha state. Yes. You have to download, whatever that thing's called, test flight to get it. But that's what I use to, hook up with Fold and send that gift card.
Oh, cool.
So they have a Lightning wallet.
I'm also using the Lightning wallet. And it's here's the status on my full disclosure of my Lightning Labs Lightning wallet. It was working great. That's what I bought. I bought the Bitcoin San Francisco Conference 2020 tickets with that, and it was seamless. I had $50 on there, and the tickets were $20 each, US dollars. And on the way home from the conference this year, I bought two tickets for us next year. Using my Lightning app, it was awesome. However, yeah. You're welcome. Currently, I can't open that app. So I type in my PIN. I start it up. I type in my PIN, and it just crashes.
Oh,
so, and I have, I don't know how much money I have on there. I have like probably $30 on there or something, and I can't get to it. And I'm afraid if I reinstall it, I've read on their Slack that if you reinstall it, you can lose whatever your channel state is. So my money's hostage on there. I put in an issue in GitHub hoping that somebody will look at it and give me a clue on what to do. I'm not too worried about the money, but and that's why we call playing with Lightning at this point reckless, because the more you play, you're going to lose a few bucks. So this is a good thing for anyone who's not very familiar with Lightning when you play with this stuff with Lightning, Bitcoin is a lot more stable. Bitcoin is totally stable. You can blow it. So do your research, but Lightning, these apps are brand new. Like you said, the Lightning wallet is an alpha. So they warn you. It's like, you might lose money.
You might lose all of your money.
You might lose all of it. Whatever you put in it, you might lose. So put in small amounts. If you're reckless, put in 20 or 30 bucks and see what happens like I did, but don't put a whole Bitcoin in there or something stupid. Like, I don't think you can. I think there's a limit, but
it's probably smart. There are a lot of stupid people out there like you.
Yeah, exactly. And I've probably lost a fair amount of money playing with Lightning. I haven't lost any money, thank God, with Bitcoin. But yeah, it's really easy to lose money with Lightning, so be careful.
And you lost all your money.
What did you say?
So, I mean, you mean you lost all of your money?
Well, I lost all my I may have lost all of my money. Don't count me out yet, though. I'm pretty resourceful. I think I'll be able to pull off whatever I got in there. But I haven't lost, I mean, I may have lost all my money in the Lightning app, but I haven't lost all my money in my other 10 or 15 apps I used to play with Lightning. So we're good.
And diversifying.
Gotta diversify. Lots of apps.
Terrible OPSEC, but diversifying. No.
I'm not too worried about people getting, you can steal my phone and get a hold of, like, if you can crack all my Lightning apps on my phone and get the, like, I don't know, $75 I have in there, go for it. You're not getting my Bitcoin. So it's not really, I hope that doesn't sound like a challenge. I don't really want to try to get to my Bitcoin.
People need to come back to this, man.
Yeah. Well, live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah. So yeah.
How are we doing on time? We're trying to keep these to an hour. So
I don't think we're there yet. It's only 6:40.
Okay. I don't know what time we started.
I don't know either, but we can pause for an advertisement.
Okay.
Let's leave this space so I can run an ad later.
Okay, we're going to leave a space for Nick's whopping ad. I don't even know what it is.
Starting now. Okay, that's probably good. I can just insert it right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to disclose that if it appears that, so Nick and I are sort of de facto partners on this podcast. We haven't talked about monetizing it, but it looks like Nick's going to try to monetize this podcast without my consent. And he'll probably hook up the funds to his Lightning app. If any money comes our way, it's probably gonna be buying fun Lightning stuff.
Yeah, it'll all go back into the Bitcoin / Lightning network some way or another.
Back into the ecosystem.
Anything
we make on this particular podcast, we vow to put back into the and I mean literally this episode.
You got to specify in case this blows up.
Because it does blow up and we do make millions on this podcast, I don't want to give it all away. I want 99.9% of that from my greedy side. All right.
Man, crypto Twitter is going off on this Trump podcast or tweet thing.
Are they having a good time with it? I know. I'm actually excited. I'm kind of sad that we have to be talking about Bitcoin right now when I should be on my Twitter.
Yeah,
what's going on, because this is a good time
For anyone who wants to become more involved in the kind of Bitcoin and crypto environment and learn a lot, get on Twitter, and then we'll post a list in the podcast notes of awesome people to follow.
Oh really?
Yeah, we will.
Are you taking that on? That project on? Rad. Yeah, and I would also add to that, be careful on Bitcoin Twitter, or sometimes called crypto Twitter, particularly crypto Twitter. So there's a lot of charlatans, scam artists, stupid people, and people with generally bad advice. So don't take everything with a grain of salt. There's a few people who are really great to listen to and to learn from, but if people are advising you to spend or buy or do any of this or join their group, be very cautious on crypto Twitter. There's a lot of bullshit going on. And you can easily get wrecked thinking somebody's really smart and advising you to buy or sell something. And it's chaos out there. Be very careful.
All right. Where were we?
Well, we covered all of our main topics for today, so we could just riff on whatever comes to mind.
Sure.
One thing that we could talk about, since the idea of this is to be catering to noobs, no offense, hope that's not an offensive term, Mr. and Mrs. Noob out there, on-ramping, getting your money into Bitcoin. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's good. All right, we are supposed to be a beginner focus because neither of us know what we're talking about. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. But Cash App is great.
Yeah,
very
Cash App is probably the easiest
ones.
Easiest one I've used to get money into Bitcoin, and they are Bitcoin only, which is awesome. Jack from Twitter runs Cash App. He is the CEO of Square, which runs Cash App. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we support Cash App. But I, the one thing about Cash App that I'm not sure of is there seems to be, what do you call it? The price difference between when you buy and when you sell. There's a word for that and I don't recall it.
Like the spread?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly the word, but well,
I mean, they don't charge a fee.
They price the fee in. So that's how come it's higher and lower. So I think in order to like maximize user experience and not to deal with any of that shit, for onboarding purposes, they price the fee in. So at times of high volatility, high volume, I guess, or high use of the Bitcoin network, it's probably beneficial. While in times of low use, it's probably not that beneficial for you. I don't know how their algorithm works or anything, but
yeah, I don't like that you don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable because I don't know like what I'm. All I know is like if I compare that to something like Coinbase, the price is higher. And if I compare when I'm buying it versus when I'm selling it off of Cash App, there's a big gap. And that feels uncomfortable to me. Yeah. And I've been wanting to research that. I haven't had time, but that's something that maybe one of us can research that this week. And we'll talk about that in the next pod and see if we can investigate what that spread is and the correct terminology.
Yeah. And then, so I use Cash App for some of my buying. I use Gemini also. Gemini's got a pretty good user interface, good user experience. They tell you the fee.
Yeah. But to use Gemini, you had to go through quite a setup process. Do you not? Like KYC?
Yeah. I mean, you have to do that for Cash App and Coinbase as well.
Cash App was pretty straightforward, right? Was there much? I think Cash App was like did you have to put your license in for Cash App? Yeah,
well, I'm not sure when you have to put your license.
Yeah, I think it's only if you're withdrawing Bitcoin. Yeah, I think
it's the same with Coinbase. You can buy, but in order to get the money, get it out at any point, you have to put your license in. Yeah,
but either way, with Cash App, you have to link it to your bank account, so they know who you are.
Yeah, all of them to get your money. Yeah. In. Well, yeah. Actually, Cash App, you can. Yeah, actually, no, it's true. You have to link just to your money.
Yeah, I know the process with Cash App was really easy. I haven't used Gemini. You'd say that's easy.
Gemini's easy, yeah.
Let me ask you this: how long did it take you from starting the setup process to when you can actually, when your money was available to put into, to buy Bitcoin?
I might have been same day. The thing with Gemini, though, because I was only buying a little bit, at first, they capped you at $500 deposits a day.
Yeah.
Until I think I don't know what their back-end process is, but they eventually bumped it up so I could deposit higher amounts. Yep. I was only able to put in $500 a day for a while.
Yep.
And then I don't think there's any such limit in Coinbase.
Coinbase has a limit. It's pretty high. I want to say, and it depends how you're putting your money in. So if you're putting your money in Coinbase by bank transfer, it's like, I don't know, I think I want to say 10,000. I could be wrong. But then you can also wire larger amounts. I think you might be able to wire as much as you want.
Okay. That's true. I think Gemini also had a higher wire limit, but I was just doing straight up from bank account. I'm trying to see if I think it's those are the main ones I use.
And wiring money takes at least usually a day before that, depending on what time you get it in. Actually, a wire can transfer in a day sometimes, but I've had bad experiences wiring money into Coinbase. It's like every time I've tried it, the first one doesn't go through because I followed the instructions incorrectly and put the wrong thing in the wrong field because it's very complex to figure out how to do that, which is one of the reasons I love Bitcoin because it's so easy. But it's like I've had wires rejected, so then my money's not in, and then it's taken like over the weekend to get it in. So it's like you're sitting there waiting as the price might be going up by thousands of dollars and you're trying to get your money in to buy Bitcoin. And I've had my experiences with Coinbase have been like so slow to be able to actually go from getting started to getting my money in. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Coinbase. I think they've done a lot to on-ramp people to get people started, but I think their time is sort of fading. I think they're stagnating when others are getting better, like Cash App.
I think Coinbase's focus is getting a lot of different cryptocurrencies on their platform. So they, yep. I mean, they've been good at that, you know, adding other ones and getting support. I mean, which also makes sense given that they are an SF based company and that this is kind of where ICOs have been blowing up, or at least were blowing up last year, and where there's a lot of independent, you know, coin companies. So they probably have a lot of partnerships just based on their geographical area.
Yeah, Silicon Valley type thinking. And I don't support that because I'm Bitcoin. I mean, I consider myself a maximalist, even though, as I've admitted, I have a few legacy holds of other coins, but I'll never buy another coin again. And
I think there could be some potential for other blockchain-specific coins, but like...
But that's not... I don't think Coinbase is in it for the potential of other coins. I think they're in it to try to leverage the trading and get newbies to buy shit coins. I really do. Because Brian Armstrong, who runs Coinbase, he's been around long enough to know better. And I think he was a hardcore Bitcoiner and he was a maximalist. And then he's shifted. And I think he's shifting because he thinks it's profitable for his business, which I can't blame him for because he's a businessman. But I don't think he's got the vision, the long-term vision of Bitcoin in mind. And so be it. So we can vote with our dollar and go elsewhere, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find another way to get my money in. And I like Cash App. Like I said, I have concerns about that.
Because they're Bitcoin only, they don't like the fee kind of spread thing.
Well, I just don't understand it. I just want to know if I'm being ripped off and my fees. I wouldn't appreciate that. And I'm not saying that I am because I don't know, but I don't like that I don't know what the fees are.
Yeah, which is more of a UX problem, right?
Yeah.
They should kind of reveal that information.
And they probably do somewhere in the fine print.
But because they're so aimed, I think they are very beginner friendly or beginner focused, right?
Correct.
So that's how they're trying to approach it.
Right. So we've talked about
having an option. Having an option though to reveal the fee would be a good feature. Jack.
Yep, get on it. And then we talked about that. We talked about a few of the exchanges, Coinbase, Gemini. There's also Kraken, which is kind of in that same class to me.
Yeah, I really should check out Kraken.
Yeah. I went through the process of setting up an account and it was similar to Coinbase. It was a pain in the ass, somewhat of a pain. You know, it's not that hard, but you got to verify, you got to wait for them to verify your driver's license. You got to take a photo or something.
Yeah.
And then you got to move your money in, and that takes time. So there's nothing, there's also, there's the decentralized platforms like Bisq. Have you heard of or tried Bisq?
I think I vaguely heard of it. I didn't know decentralized platforms were actually like in effect yet. I know that they've been working on them.
The only one I know of that is functioning is Bisq, and I've tried to use it, and it's fine. You still have to link it up to your. Well, I'm not certain. The only way to do it is to link it up to your bank account, but that was the method that I chose. This was a while ago, and you can move money into it with your bank account. There's no other verification except for you have to transfer the funds from your bank account. And the problem with it was, and probably still is there's no liquidity on it. There's so few people using it that it's hard. It's like there's like 10 people selling a coin or a tenth of a coin. Mm. And so you can't really buy in volume. And the prices were much higher than other exchanges. So.
Well, I mean, that's probably why there's not many people using it.
Yeah, I know. Right. It's chicken and the egg problem. I think I think that's the way a lot of people will be going eventually. As soon as there's a good user interface or something like that, and there's a lot of people using it, which is just going to be like that cycle of chicken and egg, that will be the way to go. But we're nowhere near that as far as I can tell. So people are going to have to use your average person is going to have to onboard through an exchange like Coinbase or Cash App at this point. Yeah.
I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Binance was trying to launch their own decentralized
project
or exchange, right?
Yep.
But
I don't know anything about it, but yes, that's what they're saying.
But Binance is also not making themselves available to US users anymore because of probably KYC issues.
Well, no, they are. No. My understanding is they are going to make themselves available, but it's going to be a whole separate platform for US users that they're going to launch, I think, at the end of summer. And U.S. users have to go through a process, just like with the other U.S.-based exchanges, to perform the KYC. So they're still gonna be accessible to US users. Yeah, that was the cool thing about Binance, is you didn't have to give them any information, if I remember correctly.
Oh, is that right? Well, that makes, so that's why they're not legal under US jurisdiction.
But the problem is you couldn't put in US dollars. You could only use various coins. So you'd have to transfer your Bitcoin from a wallet into your Binance wallet.
Well, that's fine. That's easy enough. Yeah,
it is, but my concern is...
And then you can sell it there.
Yes. Well, you can sell it back to Bitcoin or another. You can't sell it for US dollars.
I see.
So you got to move it back to you got to move it somewhere to offboard it if you want to sell and get US dollars.
I see. So you have to put it up to an exchange anyway.
Exactly. Eventually, well,
so
if you're US.
So eventually people are going to get taxed.
Exactly. Right. Well, yeah, you're going to get taxed if you come through an exchange. You're either going to, if you sell your Bitcoin through Cash App, through Coinbase, through Kraken, you're subject to tax. Obviously, you're responsible for letting the government know you have that you made that sale, and you could lie and say, you could not claim that. But as we know from, I think in 2017 or maybe 2016, Coinbase released a ton of people's transactions to the Fed, to the Treasury, and they're going to continue to do that. So we can assume.
Well, I think every U.S. exchange probably is going to do that.
Yeah, I think Kraken's been. I think if I remember correctly, Kraken said they weren't going to do that. They're going to fight that. They thought it was a violation of privacy, and I don't know where we are, but you can assume that. Yes, I think you can assume it's safe to assume, and you'd be smart to assume that if you sell coins on an exchange in the U.S. or Canada, because Canada is similar, and I know that they've made statements that imply that they're going to be asking exchanges for information. Yeah, assume that if you sell on an exchange and take US dollars, you're going to be tracked. And the Treasury's going to have that information. So don't assume you can sell it and get away with it without getting, if you get audited, you're going to get penalized.
Yeah, I mean that's the law.
That's the law
in America.
We're law-abiding citizens, of course. So we play by the rules.
Pay your taxes, give Uncle Sam his money.
Yeah. And there are ways currently to avoid that if you so choose to violate federal law, and but they're much more difficult. And I think one of those would be something like BISC, where you can kind of obfuscate your transactions.
Mm-hmm. BitMEX is not allowed for U.S. citizens, right?
Yeah, but you can VPN into BitMEX, I believe. And I don't know anything about I have never used BitMEX, and I haven't really thought about it. So I don't know if you can withdraw U.S. dollars from there to your bank account. And of course, if you're linking something to your bank account, you're kind of exposing yourself. And you're kind of asking for trouble. So
yeah, but maybe you can, cash a check and turn it into a check and send it.
Yeah, you can play stupid games and win stupid prizes. I think if you're going to try to evade the law of your country, you should be very careful and do a lot of research if you're going to play that game. And I don't condone that, but I intend to fully pay my taxes.
Yeah, me too.
It's just too much stress.
As a law-abiding citizen of this great country.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain laws that I violate, in all honesty. I'll never tell you which ones. Pick and choose, but I think evading tax evasion is a foolish game. I think, particularly when it's like you got a trail. If you have a trail, don't evade taxes. So, yeah, I'm not particularly moral or ethical, but I am smart. So, or somewhat smart enough to not break laws where I have a paper trail.
Not smart enough not to talk about this on a public.
Yeah. Office. So by smart, I mean,
you're not that smart.
By smart, I mean absolutely stupid and unaware of how stupid I am.
But we need these guys. We need us in the world so people learn not to be stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to set an example.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, those are some options for exchanges, and you can always reach out to Nick and he'll guide you. He'll walk you through Gemini if you so choose, Grandma.
Yeah, that's true. Send your grandmas.
Yeah. Well, that's something I come across. I've talked to a lot of people about Bitcoin, and I've had people ask me about Bitcoin. I tell them it's awesome, and for the various reasons why, until their eyes glaze over. And then they want to buy, but they don't because they're intimidated by the process.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's as simple as opening a bank account, for a lot of people that's too much right now. And I think that's what I think Cash App and things like Cash App.
I mean, actually securing your coins is more complex than setting up a bank account.
Yeah, and people don't even who just want to buy Bitcoin haven't even thought about securing their coins because they don't even realize they have to.
But that's something. I mean, that's what I still tell people, no coiners, when I'm talking to them about Bitcoin. It's like, yeah, you know, you buy it on Cash App, you buy it on Coinbase, but it's not really secure until you put it in your own kind of cold wallet.
Not your coin, not your keys, not your coins.
Yeah.
I would argue that for that noob. So this is a contentious topic. There's a lot of hardcore Bitcoiners who think if it's not your keys, it's not your coin, and that everyone needs to immediately take your coins off of the exchange once you've purchased them and put them on your own wallet.
For big chunks of money, right?
Yeah.
I agree with that,
except that if you don't have the skills and wherewithal to secure your coins properly, I think you're actually taking quite a risk. So this is not the most popular opinion, but I think that a noob who's putting money in through Coinbase should probably leave their money in Coinbase until they've done enough research to feel very confident that they know what to do with their coins on their own.
Okay.
Their own keys.
I mean, that's fair. I have a question about that though. Does Coinbase insure your money that's in their system?
No, I don't believe they do. My recollection of Coinbase is that they insure your U.S. dollars. So while it's sitting in your U.S. dollar account,
you're insured. Terrifying then, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, and then again, as I always say, I could be wrong, but things change so fast. But no, I don't believe that they do insure your coin. I think that if they got hacked, they would probably just like Binance when they got hacked a month or two
ago.
That's
what I was going to mention because they...
covered it.
The end user, didn't have to deal with it.
And they had like a pseudo Binance insurance fund where they were, it wasn't an official regulated insurance fund, but they basically claimed that they had an insurance fund for a situation like that. And they did pay off, they covered it. So like mm-hmm. good on Binance. And I think Coinbase would do the same for...
Probably just because, I mean, if they didn't, that would destroy their business.
Yeah, exactly. These guys are printing money, man. So like... they don't want to ruin a good thing by not covering. So they're going to cover anything they can. And I think this is a news topic. Coinbase is working on creating their own insurance like industry around insuring exchanges is my understanding. So I think they're very well aware of that need. That's going to be big. That's going to be something that's
coin insurance. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Insuring
exchanges. Like, what'd you say?
I mean, yeah, just like coin insurance, just how every other insurance has popped up and become like a massively profitable industry.
Exactly. Then we have the FDIC for US for bank accounts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there'll be something like that. That's all going to come. In the meantime, though, I think it's still fairly safe to leave. Let's say you have two or three Bitcoins. Like, I think it's until you've done your research, significant research, I think it's probably a better idea to leave it there if you don't know what you're doing. But I do advocate for learning. You know, that's kind of my process was to immediately get my coins off of exchanges and get them into Bitcoin wallets. But I was hungry to learn how. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are lazy. Don't be lazy. True. This is part of the attraction of Bitcoin is to be sovereign over your own wealth.
Be your own bank, right?
Be your own bank. So you're kind of obligated if you're going to play this game. Part of it is to take the responsibility of your wealth. And yeah, if you're just doing this for an investment, I don't know, go for it. But maybe if you're going to be lazy about it, maybe you should just leave it on an exchange and take your chances. It's probably safer there than in your own hands if you don't have any knowledge. But I do encourage people to learn and protect their coins. It's not that complicated. But it's complicated enough that you should spend some time understanding the risks and how to secure your seeds. And we'll do a podcast where we talk about hardware wallets and good safety protocols, things like that. It's a big topic. But yeah, So just be careful out there. And there's also third parties who will manage your seeds. What do they call that? I forget the word for it. See, one beer is all it took for me to forget words. That's why I can't drink very much. Yeah. But yeah, you can.
You talk way too much when you drink.
That's true, right? You can outsource. You can outsource someone to manage your keys. Like Casa Hodel does that, or I think they're called Casa. And there's others. So you can outsource it if you don't feel comfortable and you have significant wealth invested in it.
All right, good deal. All right. Well, I think we're about at the hour threshold. So I got to cut you off and you're rambling now. Excellent. Any other last minute topics you want to cover before we check out for episode 2?
No, I think we should close up this episode, get out while we still can before I'm too wasted, and save the rest for next time.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We will be back with episode 3.
3.0.
Yep. Cheers. Add us on Twitter if you have any topics that you want us to discuss. Right.
Show notes with the @.
At Greg.
I'm Greg Jelline, Jellin.
All right, I'm gonna cut it off.